This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth and what a busy week it's been. Of course, we had the Shoreham air crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, massive disaster.
Although the guy is apparently still alive.
He's in a coma.
Albeit in an induced coma. I don't know how you would.
In some ways remarkable considering the scale of the crash.
Yeah. My dad flew that plane.
Really? That exact one?
Yeah. Well, the Hunter.
Oh, right.
Maybe he was in. There's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance he could have done. I guess yeah. There's not that many of them.
Yeah, I suppose that means more in aeroplane terms. Because if someone died in a car crash in America, I could say, oh, I've driven a Ford. It's not quite the same impact.
But this is interesting because this is a general sort of... This is what the general public look at planes. I think they think that you sort of get into a plane and fly it like we do a car.
Yeah.
Like you've got a Costa in one hand, you're flicking the radio on.
You shouldn't be having a Costa in your hand. I'm just...
Well, put it in the secure. and then...
Sip it when I park up.
And then off you go. But it's not, the checks are so stringent and just before you even get in an aircraft and fly it,
It's rigorous.
It's so methodical. Everything about it is checked, double checked, double checked.
It can't just happen.
Yeah.
Mistakes can't just happen. They must
can't.
Rare. They're very rare.
So that's sad, but that's going to put a lot of pressure on air shows, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, what else was interesting this week? We're going to get into Twitter news shortly, by the way, and Seb will have the big stories, but one thing that just jumped out at me was the Ashley Madison debacle. The hackers that got in all the data had distributed it and revealed a lot of people that had been on there because the site was designed for people to have affairs on.
Yeah. Life's too short, have an affair, as they say.
That's the slogan. And this caused worldwide problems yesterday.
Yeah.
And I've got this clip for you because this was on a radio station in Australia. And I listened to it yesterday and I thought, I wonder how we would have dealt with that. Would we have put this to air?
Yeah.
So there's a website you can log on to and put your details into and find out if those details are on Ashley Madison now.
Right, okay.
This radio station had that website.
Right.
And a lady rang up saying, look, my husband, he's been narky with me recently. He's changed his working hours. I've got an inkling that he is up to no good, and she's upset. She's rang the station because they're talking about Ashley Madison. So they agree to put the details into
no
the...
No way.
And this is the guy talking to the woman.
When I question things, so, yeah. I've given you've got his details
We've got his details here, and we've put him into the... I feel like we're on Jerry Springer, man. I feel like this is weird because we're putting him into this website right now, and his details have revealed.
Put it in.
That he's actually on the website, Joe.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, no,
these websites are disgusting, and that girl that called before, she should be ashamed of herself.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Isn't it horrible?
That was like telling someone...
Two children.
I can't 15 believe years she of rang the radio station,
15
though.
Years of marriage, two children.
Imagine if someone called us now going, could you do it?
And this is what I was thinking. I was thinking, how would we... And you could tell the DJ in that moment was excited because he knew it was big. He knew it was juicy. But that's the risky run
of... You've got social responsibility putting it on air. I mean, as long as you've got her consent, but he hasn't... Oh, jeez, that is a dilemma, isn't it? Because what about him? I know he's done something wrong.
Also,
he's signed up to the website.
Yes, but also, you have to take all things into account there. Like, I know this is a big public story, and there's this website out there, and lots of people have signed up to it.
Yeah.
You know, fine, okay. And the implications of people abusing that and having affairs is awful. But there has to be so many... And I'm not defending the guy here. I'm just saying you've got to think of all the options. There must be so many people on that site that maybe had a bad run for a few weeks and went, do you know what? I'm going to go and sign up to this. And then suddenly had a wave of...
Never used it.
Conscience and went, no, I'm
Could
not going to use it.
Could have signed up but never used it.
But the details are on there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying they're perfectly innocent, but I'm not, you know.
Oh, it's so, so horrible. be a lot of.
So I'll be honest. If you know,
conversations around the world.
Yeah, don't ring us this morning. I'm not logging anybody onto that. I'm not telling anyone their marriage is over.
No,
it's heavy, isn't it?
A million people in the UK, though.
A million. That is an interesting point, though. The idea of maybe somebody signed up but not used it. I mean, what would you do if Hayley's email came up? You put it into that generator, because there are these generators online where you can.
Yeah. Well, I think it would.
You come home from, you've found it at work.
Yeah.
You come home.
I wouldn't know when she did it. We've only been together for 18 months.
Okay, well, you come home. It's recent. It's in the last year.
Yeah.
Come home. I'm Hayley. I'm sat on the sofa. Right?
Yeah. What, and I've typed it in?
At work you found it.
Oh, right.
You had a few hours to stew on it.
Yeah.
Come home. I'm sat there watching Come Dine With Me.
I'm already annoyed. Hate that show. Oh, I don't know. I think...
How would you go on then? How would you break it? What would you do? Any niceties or straight in?
No, it's just straight in.
Straight
just
in.
Like,
right, door opens. I'm sat on the sofa. Go on. Door opens. I'm sat on the sofa. Hey, babe.
Is that me or her?
That's Hayley.
Right, okay. Hey!
That's how you'd start?
Right. I was at work and we were just all joking around and putting each other's emails and stuff into the Madison website.
What's that?
You know, the... well, hang on.
Go on.
She'd have heard of it.
Well done. I'm playing Hayley, so...
No, but she would have heard
of
it.
I'm playing the roles, don't...
No.
Go on.
Don't.
Go on.
We typed yours in and it came up with your details.
Why did you type mine in? What? Why because are you spying on me? Are you paranoid?
I'm not spying on anyone. We all put in each other's. I put mine in. Ollie put his in. Seb put
did
his
Ollie
in.
Did Ollie put Kate's in?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right, you go.
Yeah. He did. He's an idiot, that Ollie. he coaxed me into this. Anyway, yours came up. What have you got to say? How's that happened?
I was just curious.
Curious about what?
Just like what it was, like just logged on. I just want to see what it was about. Obviously, I'm not going to do anything. Anyway, dinner.
Sorry, what? I just want to see what it's about. Oh, I'm going to log in and see what this is all about.
Simon, we can't have an affair because we're not married.
Well, that's good. That's valid.
Dinner. But the thing is, there are going to be loads of people out there that have just logged on to have a little look around. And they haven't had
no,
affairs.
No, you wouldn't sign up to look around. If you type the website in like we have, the tagline is life's too short, have an affair.
No, like,
what do you need to log in to find out? It's just going to be like a normal dating website.
I'm not on Tinder and I've never been on Tinder, but I've been on my neighbours and I find it fascinating.
Does she know?
What?
She knows you've been on it. Like,
yeah.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. But it's fascinating. Like, I find it absolutely fascinating what's going on there.
Yeah, no.
So there is a level. There will be people out there.
I know, but I don't think you'd never sign up to Tinder to find out.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. All right. All right, then. Twitter news on the way. We find out what's been trending across the world. Seb will be here next. I can't afford the lightning.
myself. I'm being held up by invisible men. Still life on a shelf when I got my mind on something else. So the days, oh, where have you gone? I get the strangest feeling you belong. Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17? Why does it always rain on me? Even when the sun is shining, I can't avoid the lightning. Oh, where did the blue sky go? Oh, why is it raining so cold? So cold. Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17? Why does it always
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back on the last 7 days on planet Earth. We've got Sebastian Noble, Boston United's number one fan here and hard-hitting journalist, to talk about what's been trending worldwide.
I'm not sure I like the fact that you've put a fan ahead of hard-hitting journalist. I think most people know me for my hard-hitting journalism exclusives that I've...
Boston United is more important to you than anything.
That is and that is what will be written on your gravestone.
Yeah. I know.
Boston United is more important.
It doesn't
than
matter what you, if you get OBEs, whatever you do in your career,
yeah,
nothing will surpass Boston United winning a game.
Can I just clarify? I won't have a gravestone. I'll be my ashes will be scattered on the pitch.
The pitch.
Yeah, good wow. Fertilizer. That's how, that's just how, wants to keep the grass green for generations to come.
That's how unserious I am about them. Anyway, the first hashtag heroes. This is all about the incident on the train
in
France,
yes.
Last week, where five people helped stop a man with guns carrying out, well, firstly, what they fear was going to be a massacre.
This must be the first AK-47 ever to not fire.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it was it definitely an AK-47 or it looked like one?
Yeah, some kind of high-powered machine
it's like
gun.
People, like, submerge those, don't they? Like, those weapons are, like, ludicrous.
Mm,
so for that to
looking.
Jam is a spot of luck, isn't it?
So the setting was a train.
Yeah. And I should say, actually, this was a train which was crossing borders. I think it crossed from the Netherlands. Yeah. So quite how they managed to miss that when they were checking, you know, at the border, anything like that.
But you don't. The train doesn't stop at a border. Just sail straight in Europe. Sail straight over.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. It doesn't. There's no checks at borders in Europe.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
But you can, you know. But in most countries, like if you drive from, you know, Switzerland to Austria, you're not getting checked at the border.
I guess that check is you getting on the train in the first place.
Hand luggage, you know, just get an old lady just to open up the thing so we can, like, stuff the guns in it. What you got there?
Paintball gear.
Paintball gear. Christmas presents for the kids.
There's no security at train stations.
That's weird, isn't it?
Well, obviously not at the moment, but we'll see in future because after this incident. But what's interesting...
So how far did he get in sort of, what was his goal? To kill people on the train?
Well, he claims, we should say, obviously, he's being questioned at the moment, and he says that...
He could have innocently had an AK-47.
Well, he says it was... He says he was trying to commit a robbery and he wanted to sort of, it was a hold-up, you know.
He wasn't going to kill...
He didn't want to, you know, kill people, although he did wound one person.
Did it have ammo in it?
Allegedly, yeah. But what was interesting coming out of it, because there were these people, a couple of Americans there, there's also a British businessman who was on this train. They've been to sort of meet the President of France, got like I suppose equivalent of an OBE type thing for their bravery. And afterwards, the businessman guy, he said, I think other people are going to have to get used to being in this scenario in future. Because, and what would you do if you were in that position and somebody pulled out a gun on a train, suspected terrorist, and suddenly you find yourselves in that position? Do you go and tackle him, rugby tackle him to the ground and pin him down and actually go and challenge him? Do you, I don't know, try and...
It's the fight or flight scenario. I mean, I
liaise
guess,
with him.
I guess it would have been his gun jammed, which is, you know, if someone's got a loaded gun, you're probably going to think twice.
By the time you've got to him,
he's going
to
have shot you. So you either need to creep up from behind or do that, you know, you tap them on the left and go from the right. The classic.
Yeah. What's that over there? Kick him in the bollocks.
But, I mean, it's a fair point because, I mean, we saw famously on 9/11, didn't we, when the one of the planes got hijacked and all the passengers sort of got together and made it crash just in sort of open countryside rather than go into another building because they suddenly had this overwhelming urge, we've got to stand up and do something
here. I think
here.
It does just take, it's like a domino effect. It's that one person jumps on him. Then three, like in numbers, we can outdo you here.
Also, I think it's less. I think this guy's right. I think it's less about how, you know, he's not telling everyone to go and get karate skills.
No, no, no.
I remember I did MMA fighting for a little while. A little phase I went through. So it'd be a good way to keep fit. And the guy that did it was like a black belt fighter that could like send you to sleep by touching your earlobe. Do you know what I mean? Like he had all the fighting skills, tough as nails. And I always remember being really disappointed when he goes, first rule of mixed martial arts, he goes, run.
Yeah.
He goes, do everything you can in that situation to run away.
Yeah.
He goes, because you never know what they have on them. It could be a 12-year-old kid and you could have a knife. He goes, second thing, before you get into all this fancy fighting, kick him in the bollocks.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You've paid for this class. Hang on, you could have Googled that.
And that's what he said. He just goes, play dirty. He goes, first thing I teach in self-defence, kick him in the bollocks. It's like, but what about all this jiu-jitsu? No. Bollocks, kick him.
Hit him where it hurts.
Yeah. So I think the lesson to be learnt here is, if there is
always
a terrorist
be aware of gonads.
On a plane or a train, kick him in the bollocks.
Ideal.
Talking of kicks in the bollocks, moving on to hashtag One Direction. Although actually most of their fans are sort of young female girls, so kicking in the bollocks wouldn't be probably the most accurate description. This is the shocking news that One Direction are splitting up next year. They're taking a break. Probably just so they can come back.
Or splitting up then?
Well, they're sort of like temporarily. They're taking a break. They're seeing how they feel about each other.
Hiatus.
Yeah. And then they're going to come back and have a huge worldwide relaunch reunion tour.
The record labels are going into overdrive at the moment to try and secure Harry Styles as a solo artist. That's the big thing that's happening now. Because they think, you know, that's a cash cow waiting to happen.
Yeah.
He would do really well on his own.
And apparently, yeah, acting as well, they want to get him involved as well. But he can't do it at the moment because of his One Direction contract sort of forbids him from doing so. I mean, it's just, do you remember back in primary school, it just got me thinking, do you remember back when we were in primary school when Take That split up? And I remember the girls at my school being devastated, you know, when that happened. First of all, when Robbie left, and then when it happened, I just thought, get a grip. And
it's always the same. There's always another, you know, from, and then it was Boyzone, and then it was Westlife, and then it was, you know, there's always,
I mean, just
a faddy group that the girls of a certain age just can't do anything about. They're helpless.
I think the reaction is less grievous now, though, because, like, remember when the Beatles broke out, there was people, like, flooding airports and crying. And
is it less grievous? Because, I mean, taking to Twitter, just to take a look, without wanting to pick on people, Siobhan Neely, not even joking, I'm sat crying in reception because One Direction are splitting up. WTF is wrong with my life. Well, I think we all know
but
Siobhan.
Reception is in, she's in reception class or she's...
No, she's in the reception
like
of
a doctor's reception.
Yeah,
the difference
kind of
about that is that she's just...
She's in the doctor's reception for a broken heart.
She's typing 140 characters. She's not driving down to London to sit outside the house and sob. Like, it's easier. It's like trolls online. They say what they want, but they don't really mean it. They wouldn't say it in public.
Do they actually mean it? Tarkan Basara? Have One Direction actually split up? Or, because I'm about to cry. I mean, excluding the grammatical errors in that sentence, it's a little bit desperate, isn't it? Someone release a goddamn official statement. My heart can't take these constant rumours. A One Direction splitting, or aren't they? That was from Josh. Josh. That was from...
That is hilarious. It is crazy, isn't it? How much you mean.
It is, and it's really actually quite worrying. People saying, look, I'm not sure I want to go on living without them. My, you know, life wouldn't be worth continuing without one direction.
They're young and impressionable, though, aren't they? You can't. It's impossible as an adult, especially as parents, it's impossible to put your arm around them and say, oh, when you grow up, you'll laugh at this. No, they just can't. They just can't comprehend it.
It's a music group, isn't it? Music.
Yeah, but you can't tell that to a 14-year-old. It's all that matters.
And moving on from the broken-hearted youngsters to, I love this story. This is hashtag fake DWP stories. DWP, Department for Work and Pensions. This is the government sorts out Social Security, all types of things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they've landed themselves in hot water because they'd produced all these leaflets which were supposed to be handed out to people going to sort of job centres, looking for a job, trying to get off benefits and into work.
Sort of tips and things, how to...
Yeah, exactly. And including inspirational stories of people who'd gone through the same journey. Okay. So they'd have like a picture of somebody, like Sarah from Liverpool, saying like, oh, the government's changes really helped me get my CV together and now I have a job and I'm really enjoying life.
Yeah.
All fake. They've been rumbled.
No way!
These people don't exist. The stories don't exist. It's all fabricated.
Oh, my God. How did that come out? How did they get rumbled?
Sarah turned around and went, I never got the job. I haven't been paid for this either.
It was a research by a national newspaper who looked into this because they sort of smelt a rat. Government been rumbled. They've come out and said, yeah, actually. What we did was we sort of... We came up with stories which we've heard other people talking about, but, you know, the people didn't want to talk about it to us, so we've taken some of their words and invented whole personas and taken pictures.
However, off the back of that, a lot of people have got extra jobs because they realised the thing to do was to lie on your application form.
Well, off the back of it, some fantastic people taking to Twitter. This is what I love about social media. I hate most social media. But what I love is when people sort of take things and then make it into really funny sort of made up ones. So I've got a few examples of some of the other fake ones which people have come up with to, actually try and have a bit of fun with this. So, for instance, this is from one gentleman in London. He says he was forced to apply for a job. I hadn't worked for 32 years. So the government told me I had to apply for a job. I had my misgivings, but I think it's actually going rather well. That's from Jeremy Corbyn.
Only Twitter trolls can do this.
I know. What about Stephen in Manchester, who's also had to comment on this? He says, I was looking for a job... and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. I think you're particularly like this one as well, Simon. This is Walter's story. He says he turned his terminal illness into a business venture. Being class fit for work from the government, despite having lung cancer, really helped my crystal meth business take off.
This is great. I can't believe... It's so farcical, these sorts of stories, isn't it? You never can believe they're true. They sound like something from a movie.
Are all those people on the claim adverts people that have genuinely had claims?
Well, this is it. Who can you believe now? What can you believe?
What's the law?
Do you need to...
It's an advert.
I'm sure at radio stations that we've worked at before, they've got like someone from accounts to go, I love Andy's Butchers. It's where I get my meat from every week. Is that illegal?
Well, no, because they're testimonials from real people that have been got.
Mm.
Oh, and voiced by...
Yeah.
They're voiced by
the general public. They're
saying.
Voiced by real people.
Yeah, I hear you.
They're not voiced by actors or anything.
What I love is that out of the whole campaign, there was no... Was there no one that had a successful application that they could use?
No. Or it was too far to find.
Strangely enough, they couldn't find many people who wanted to come forward saying that having benefits and money taken away from them so they could get a job was a good thing.
Wow. Speaks a million words.
And that's what's trending worldwide.
To Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth and what a busy week it's been. Yeah. Nearly went to war with North Korea, South Korea, America.
That was weird. I didn't really understand what was going on. Well, it's also petty.
Long story short, the rundown is South Korea at the border set up a big megaphone. I'm talking a massive megaphone. And started basically slagging North Korea off, taking the mick.
Your mum is so fat.
So North Korea fired a rocket.
Her belt
at them.
Is jealous of the rear quarter.
Yeah, they fired a rocket. Like a shell.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Did it kill anyone or?
No.
No.
And then America turned round and went,
hang on, mate.
You start having a crack at South Korea.
But America was basically like the school dinner lady. She was like, hang on. Stop it.
America always wades in everywhere. Every
school dinner lady. The equivalent of school dinner lady.
Do you know what I mean? If some kids in Vietnam have a scrap, America are like,
they're there.
We're here. We'll step in. They love it, don't they?
They love a bit of conflict, yeah.
Did you hear that terrifying speech from Donald Trump?
No.
That man is a maniac. You know he's on his electoral campaign at the moment.
You should never be allowed anywhere near it.
He's at a campaign. There's all these rednecks there. They all go mad, waving their flags in the air, cheering him on. He's surrounded by thousands of people.
I love America because America loves guns.
Yeah, exactly that. And he's like, if I get into power, I'm going to say one thing, military. And everyone's like, yeah,
oh
yeah. He's
God.
Like, I will build a force so great in the world that everyone will be terrified. He said, it will be so terrifying, we'll never have to use it. He was like, it will be so scary, we'll never have to use it.
Oh, my God.
Clever, quite a clever line.
Yeah, but that is bloody scary.
Terrifying. He's a maniac. He's an absolute maniac.
That's the equivalent of Lord Sugar. He does the American Apprentice. What's, you know, you can't do that. You can't just step up.
It's crazy. It's like sending a fat diabetic kid into a chocolate factory. don't put him in there.
No.
Keep him away from those guns.
It's a nightmare.
So on the note of military things, our friend Nick this week, I caught up with him. I haven't seen him in a few weeks. Yeah. Nick's my
he is the closest thing I've ever seen to Action Man.
Yeah, he's
6'3", you know.
He's got a great attitude in life. He used to be a car salesman and then just decided, no, I want more out of life. And he just started saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
And now he...
He's like 10 types of instructor. He does like, you know, ram runs and buffalo things.
Yeah, like he'll like film an...
Tough mudders.
He'll film an advert dressed as a butler for HSBC in the morning, teach someone to drive a hovercraft at lunchtime.
And then some archery lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, it's literally his life. It's crazy.
And Nick and I, we travel all over together. We go like abroad and go skiing and mountain biking. He's just a great guy to travel with. Now, he mentioned this to me a few weeks ago, and straight away, I thought it was a bad idea. He said, oh, I'm thinking about... I'm looking into the army reserves straight away.
It's like the TAs then, is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Territorial Army.
Yeah, and I said to him, didn't I, point blank, I was like, Nick, don't get involved, it's a bad idea. You are signing your life away there. And he goes, yeah, but... Anyway, he was like, oh, I could do this and you can do that. It's a really exciting thing. I saw him today and he'd come back from a week. He signed up.
Really? I didn't know he'd actually signed up. And he was talking about
it. He's just come back from a week's intensive, like, getaway with the things. Where they taught him to clean a rifle and shoot it already. Do you know what I mean?
That must hit home the first time you hold a gun and go, right, this has got serious.
But it was like, it did feel a little bit like, not... brainwashed, but he came back even more like, they're going to teach me to be a ski instructor. I'm going to be, and they like a week's holiday mountain biking. They pay you to do it all.
Really, to keep
you in
shape.
If I go to the gym, I get paid. I get paid to go away and do all these adventure courses and
money incentives, like, to keep you fit, basically
to keep you
sharp, fit.
Money incentives to have you
in peak condition.
But just have you ready.
Yeah,
think about that. Ready.
Oh, like, that's horrible.
In the Ministry of Defence in London, they go, right, we've got, what are the stats looking at the moment? Don't worry, we've got 500,000 reserves if we need them.
That's weird.
That's the way I think about it.
And that's people like Nick.
And I said to him, I said, God, yeah, but do you not feel a bit like, he goes, oh, it's fine. He goes, I'd sign a little contract. I said, what's the get out? And he goes, oh, well, any time in the next 12 years, they could call me up. I was like, 12 years?
Oh, my God.
You can fuck right off for a ski-free holiday.
Yeah.
A free ski holiday
scary,
that I'm going to go, I'm going to sit there for 12 years. And he said, well, look, if there's World War III, he said, there is such thing as conscription anyway, which they had in World War II, which they used. They just, they turned around and were like, right, you've either, which I think how mad that is.
What was the choice? What was the choice?
I think the choice was, I don't exactly know, but what I do know is that if you stayed, you had to contribute something. So things like valuable people to have here were farmers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Industry, manufacturing, people that needed to keep the war effort going at home. Otherwise, get on a fucking boat, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Here's a bear net. Here's how you shoot a gun. Off you go. Like, and the thing is, you're the lowest common denominator. You're not going in as a specialist. You're foot soldiers. You're infantry.
Yeah.
Scary.
I can't even imagine that now, especially with the technological advance. You'd think, why do you need to deploy so many people? You just send the weaponry. You don't need people. You don't need fisticuffs when you've got bombs the size we have.
I know, but
and a couple of jets.
If we're talking about world war,
no, I know, it's just too hard to comprehend. Though that's the thing, it's beyond what you can imagine it being like. You're not going to be dropped on the beach again and have to. It's not going to be anything like that.
Imagine that,
is
moment
there?
When you're in a prisoner of war camp, sat in your own shit, going, "Why the fuck did I go on that ski holiday?" You would though, wouldn't you?
It's scary. It's really scary. Would you go? Would you go for it if we had to, and you're given the option, you can stay and help out here, or you can go.
I wouldn't sign up as a reserve. I mean, no. My life's an absolute joke. I come in like, it is, isn't it? It is a joke. It is. Like, I get up. Yeah. My biggest priority is getting. I was out today earlier on, and someone offered me a coffee, and I knew that there's two delis, right? The deli on the left is you get good value drinks from there, but it's instant coffee.
Yeah.
And that's where he was going. And there's a nice cafe on the right. And I'm so pompous that I went, and I had to say to him, because there was another way around it, I said, no, I'm all right, thanks. And then I was like, because I'm going to go and pay more to get a proper cappuccino from the other place. That's what it's got to.
Yeah.
I come in, I talk for a bit on the radio.
You barely come in.
Yeah, I'm here and there.
Don't shower before you come here. Just jump in a jacket and get here.
I went to my dad's 70th birthday party at the weekend. I couldn't adhere to the dress code.
Really?
Because I've only got jeans. Let alone
you're a nightmare.
Let alone iron my uniform in the morning.
Yeah, imagine that. You'd have to, and you'd live none of your life on your own terms.
Forget it. I'd be an absolute nightmare.
You'd be a lemming.
But the question is, like, okay, fine, it does all kick off, you're conscripted, you have to go out there. How would you fare? I think in like a practice environment now, I'd be a nightmare. Yeah. I'd be a bit of a renegade. I probably wouldn't follow orders. But I think actually in the battlefield, I'd probably be a bit of an asset.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd probably do things very much on my own terms and in my own way.
You've got to be a team player in those situations.
Yeah, but I'm okay like that. But I do get stuck in. Like, if I'm doing something, I want to do it to the absolute best of my ability.
Yeah, sure.
So I think I would. But then after the war, forget it. I'd be an absolute mess.
Yeah.
I'd be an emotional wreck.
I think that's the thing
that scares me the most. Because I overthink everything.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that scares me the most. If you're made to go to war and... Obviously, I'd never kill anyone, but if you're being shot at, you know, your only line of defence is to shoot out. Survivor of the fittest, if you like.
Well, that's it. If there's a soldier opposite you with a gun, and you either pull the trigger or he pulls the trigger, you're going to pull the trigger.
Yeah, you probably are. If your instincts take over, you're probably just going to do it.
Survival.
But it's a lose-lose situation because you've got to live with the knowledge you just killed that man who's got family and...
But, like, it's horrible.
It's too hard to...
I watched that Brad Pitt film, Fury, last week.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really good account of the film follows a guy who joins an already really tight unit that are on a tank.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, four of them in the tank. Very, very close. One of the guys gets killed. This guy's brought in. He's conscripted from America, so he's like an accountant. never fired a gun in his life, and he turns up, and they're talking about Germans like they're vermin.
Yeah.
There's no emotional connection there anymore. Just nothing. They're just rats.
Yeah.
They're just completely...
This guy hasn't got his head around that yet.
Immune to that. No, and he's, like, being sick, and he's like, how can you talk about them like that? And, like, there are children and things. And then within a few weeks...
He's there.
Because that's what war does to you.
You become a Neanderthal again. You just become part of the pack, don't you?
You know. And that does... I watched that other film, Unbroken, directed by Angelina Jolie, about the true story of the guy that was an Olympic runner in America. His plane went down. They survived at sea for, like, over a month and a half, only to be captured and go into a work camp, a Japanese work camp. And they're just humiliated and beaten for years and worked like dogs. How hard that would be.
Is that a true story?
Yeah, true story. And he survived the war.
Mad.
And actually then went back to... And when the Olympics went to Japan, he was the guy at 80 who ran down the high street with the Olympic torch.
Really?
As a sign. And he went and met his captors afterwards that humiliated and beat him for years to tell them that he forgave them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is incredible
guy.
That real footage must be around now, then, still.
But how you can... Like, you know, we always joke now about, like, the generational thing of, like, we look at, like, the mildly racist people as quite unintelligent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, granddad.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Different generation.
But then think, like, if you'd been in the war, and that's what I was thinking about after I watched this film. Like, if I see anyone now within the slightest bit that is slightly conservative, slightly racist, I instantly think, well, you're just you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. But imagine if you were, they were the enemy, Japanese were the enemy, and you spent all those years being beaten and tortured. You're just back home in civilization, and a Japanese family move in next door.
Yeah.
How hard it would be to
It almost
get
be ingrained in you.
Instinctive.
It's like your heart says one thing, your head says another.
Do you mean, like, your daughter comes home, 16, and she's dating a Japanese boy?
Yeah.
Like, it does start to...
You start to think, oh, I can understand what... If it's something that horrendous happened to you, you can understand how it's hard to separate sort of rationality with everything you've been affected by.
And then that flows down the family line because it becomes, you know, it becomes nurture.
Yeah, that's how these things happen, isn't it, really?
But I always do say that if I went to what I do always think, you know, like at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, we're on that boat and the camera's focused on him and then the guy next to him gets a bullet in the head before they even open the boat. I think that'd be me.
You just go...
Just...
You'd be all fired up, like, let's go kill some... Poof,
charge!
Out, you're dead.
And do you know what? In some ways, I know at the end of the film they're like, oh, hero, but he's got a lifetime of post-traumatic stress. Is it better just to...
Cop out.
Day one, just lights out.
Lights out, gone. Well, I wouldn't have much choice anyway, because if it comes to fight or fly, I wouldn't be able to fly because I'd get an asthma attack.
You'd have to fight.
So I'd have to just fight and hope for the best. I really would.
You'd be awful at hiding from people, wouldn't
you? Oh, yeah. I always think if we were burgled or something, I'd have to just... I wouldn't have a choice, but I know my gut would be to just lash out and try and beat the crap out of them.
Because if you...
Because I'd have no...
If you're walking in, like... just creaking around the room. And you're just in the cupboard.
I wouldn't be able to fly anywhere. I'm just hitting him as hard as I can and hoping for the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
FUBAR Radio. I'm gonna pick up the pieces and build a Lego house. If things go wrong, we can knock it down. My three words have two meanings, but there's one thing on my mind. It's all for you. And it's dark in a cold December, but I got you to keep me warm. If you're broken, I will mend you, and I keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging on. Now I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. say it, but I've been it before. Now I'll surrender up my heart and swap it for yours. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. Don't hold me down. I think the braces are breaking, and it's more than I can take. And it's dark in the cold December, but I got you to give me warm. If you're broken, I will mend you, and I keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging on now. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I will love you better now.
And welcome to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
Bad word.
Far.
Oh, that sounded better today.
Far worse. We're joined on the line by Ben. Ben's a
Hello.
Swimming teacher who's at university at the moment. He's on his year placement and he's just been sacked from it.
Oh, devastating.
This is the thing, right? Psychologically, that's bad, isn't it? Because if you... What's actually happened is... Am I right in saying that the company you're working with's not... anymore, is that right?
Yes, it went into liquidation, yeah.
But psychologically...
And that wasn't your fault, was it?
When you get sacked...
That.
I don't know how I deal with getting sacked from a job that I wasn't being paid for. At the beginning of your professional career, that's not good, is it?
It's not great, but I've been sacked from a paper round before, so, you know...
From a paper round? What did you do wrong?
It's a bit of a running thing.
Well, that, company... they couldn't afford to print the papers, so they said there
Every
we go.
Company you work
You're
at...
You're a curse.
If you turned up and went... So tell us why you'd be really good for this job. Well, every company I've worked at actually has gone into liquidation. Get out.
Yeah.
You're a bad omen.
Why have we got it on our show? Let's get rid of it.
I have no doubt that there's a world of opportunity out there and you'll be absolutely fine. Today's pet peeve then. You're going to have 30 seconds to pitch this to us. Just tell us what it is to start with and then I'll start the clock running.
It is poor substitutes in bars.
Right, okay. 30 seconds starting now.
So I don't want to start a big debate between Pepsi and Coke, but my pet peeve is when you walk into a bar and ask for a Coke and they say, is Pepsi all right? Well, not really, because I would have ordered a Pepsi. It's like going to a tattoo studio and then giving you a henna tattoo or going to get an iPhone and then saying, well, is Samsung all right? So I think, really, I should be able to say, well, can I pay you a Monopoly money? Or can I get an IOU note? Because it's not really what I ordered, to be honest. And it's not the same.
How many times has that happened? They do always say that. Can I have a Coke? Is Pepsi all right?
Yeah. Every time. Every single time.
That's a great response, though. Like, yeah, sure, but I don't have any cash. Is Monopoly money all right? That's a great
No, but it's no. That's not quite the thing, is it? Though, because you're they're still giving you a substitute product. You've got to pay for it.
Also, but could I do it in a different currency?
I will have the Pepsi, but I will be
this
paying
is still
in
tender
Norwegian kroner.
I'll be paying in bank in postal stamps, 0.01p.
Yes.
This is... How many times have I heard this? But the thing is...
It's quite common, isn't it, actually?
I'm not that fussed by it. Can you tell... If I put a glass of Pepsi and a glass of Coke in front of...
Ben, do you, like, prefer one to the other? Is that also why this gets you...
Yeah, out? Like, Diet Coke is my favourite, and I don't really like Pepsi, so I can tell.
Right, straight away.
Okay.
I think I could tell, but the gulf of difference isn't massive. It's not like saying, oh, we don't have ham, you can have cheese.
I'm not sure I'm refusing the drink over it.
That's a good point, actually. Even though it's happened to me a lot of times, I've never gone, oh, no, I'll have orange juice.
Well, my friend works in... It's happened to my friend. He's worked in a bar and people have just walked out because of it.
Walked out?
And then it went into liquidation, and Ben's never been back since.
All right, Ben.
Exactly.
Stay on the line for us. We'll play a song. We'll have a little think about this, and we'll work out if we're going to ban. I don't know if we can ban Pepsi because we'll probably be
ban,
sued.
Ban substitute drinks.
Substitute drinks. All right, we'll find out next.
I
Welcome back to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
Far, far worse. Each week we try and banish your pet peeves into the deep, dark depths of eternity, which is the back room of Room 102. We're joined by Ben on the line, who apparently has been fired from every single job he's ever had. In fact, every place he's worked, they've gone into liquidation. He's some kind of bad business omen. Yeah. And Ben's pet peeve is, just give us the rundown again, please, Ben.
It's when you go into a bar and you order a Coke and they say, is Pepsi okay?
Right, so but what I'm trying to... Because I guess what happens is, if I'm trying to think on the side of bar owners here, is they sign some kind of contract.
Yeah, there must be exclusivity
and
to one or the other.
It must be across a range of drinks. They must do, like... Because you know Coke, they do water, their own... And they do, fruit drinks and things like that. So maybe you buy into, the full bar package.
Yeah, I would have thought so. It's one or the other. So I've never had this. Oh, can I have Coke, please? Oh, yeah, certainly. We've got Pepsi or Coke. Would you like to choose? That's never happened before. It's always one or the other.
What if somebody just, you asked for a Coke and they gave you a drink and it was Pepsi but didn't?
I reckon there's a few people that wouldn't notice.
Yeah, I reckon I'd notice. False advertising.
False advertising. Ben's so annoyed. False advertising!
But okay, so tell me what I'm trying to work out is, right, you don't like, we all agree with this, it is annoying when you go into the bar and they go, we haven't got that, we've got Pepsi, and you go, right, fine. And it does feel like, okay, fine, okay. But what do you want from this? What would be the perfect solution?
Every bar in the UK to stop Coke, really, but...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Listen to one person.
But
yeah.
That's true. Would they? I think that's their only question. Like, we haven't got it. Is Pepsi okay? Or do they just try and get away with it? Or do they say, I'm afraid we don't do Coke?
Yeah, put yourself on the other side of the bar, Ben. Right, you're working there. You've only got Pepsi. Someone comes up.
Can I have a Coke, please,
and
Ben?
In your head, you're going, oh, God, I'm going to have to explain it.
Can I have a pint of Coca-Cola, right, please, Ben?
Role play. Good afternoon, sir. This bar looks like it's about to go into liquidation.
I don't know why, just saying about the people who work here.
I'd like a nice fresh Coca-Cola, please.
Well, I'm afraid we don't offer very good service here, so all we have is Pepsi.
I will be leaving immediately.
No wonder this
This sounds dreadful. Good day to you.
No wonder this company's gone into liquidation. Ben, I think that you've realised that you have to say that. It's not the barman's fault, it's the stock.
But it a lot of pubs used to have them in them, at least glass bottles or not on tap, but apparently not anymore.
I'm siding with Ben over this. I think it should go.
What, you think it should go in?
Yeah. It should.
But what is going in?
Because it's...
But explain to me what is going in here.
Substitute drinks. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, isn't it?
So you're saying bars should stock a full array of drinks?
Yeah.
Not poor substitute. I'm in agreement.
All right, we're getting nods. I feel... Okay, fine.
Fine.
Okay. I feel a lawsuit coming on here.
Yeah.
All right then, Ben. It's in. Along with your previous job. All into room.
Oh, Sash.
Thanks for coming on, Ben.
No worries, thank you.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
ultimate should have gone to Specsavers moment.
Oh, okay.
Out in New Zealand, I want to talk to you about the Takahi and the Pukiko. They're two types of bird that live on the island, right? One's a very, very rare bird. Only 70 left in the world.
Wow, okay.
It's endangered, right? 70 in the world. The other one, pest.
Loads of them. Like a pigeon.
Massive pest, right? Yeah. So the Takahi, right, I'll describe it to you. It's a large flightless bird with beautiful blue-green plumage and a bright red beak.
Okay.
Can you picture that? A little bit like a kiwi?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the Pukiko, all right, it's a large flightless bird with a beautiful blue-green plumage and a bright red beak.
Right, okay, I see. Very right. Similar.
So, a few hunters out at the weekend, all right, they're off hunting the Pukiko.
Right.
All right, remember, loads
common.
Of them.
Common as much.
Like pigeons.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. They have a great haul, shoot four of them in one swoop.
Oh, dear.
All right.
What a shame.
Walk over to them. All right. One goes, hey, bro, have you noticed this got a blue-green and bright red beak and a beautiful blue-green plumage?
No one says plumage. It's in the plumage on this beard.
And
no one
going,
says that.
Yeah. Oh, no, the Takike. And he goes, I think this is a Pukiko. He's going, nah, mate. Nah, bro. It's a Pukiko.
You say Pukiko, I say Pukako.
You say Pukiko, I say Takaki, the endangered species. And anyway, so they end up having this thing. They've killed four of the remaining 70.
It's gone down by like 7% of the population's been culled.
Bro, you've killed an endangered species, you idiot.
What are the repercussions of that? If it's endangered, do you get into serious trouble?
It means that there are now 66.
Oh, right. Simon. But nothing happens to them.
Yeah, no, they're in trouble. The president of the New Zealand Deerstalkers Association is furious.
Well, I thought you could say the president of New Zealand, but no. President of the Deerstalkers Association.
He's got a country to run, Simon.
Fine. This is good.
We're off to Big Festival this weekend.
I know, I can't wait.
That's going to be a knees up. There's something else happening. What's happening?
Bank holiday.
Yeah, what's happening Friday night?
Friday night.
Oh, God, I wish my memory was better.
Bank holiday Monday, we've got the golf tournament.
Yeah, got Rounders match on Sunday.
Rounders match? For what? Rounders match?
Yeah, Rounders match.
What, in like a league?
Well, I suppose you could call it a league.
Yeah. What, you're in a Rounders league?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, my friend does a big Rounders.
Is she like a 14-year-old GCSE student?
No.
We Rounders
match. Yeah, we have these big we had it early in the summer, big Rounders party. Big barbecue, bit of Rounders.
So it's a barbecue and you're going to play a bit of Rounders?
I forgot how light the bat was and I let go of it when I hit it and I nearly decapitated someone's child. The thing was, I didn't stop running.
No.
I didn't go back to check he was all right. It was really frowned upon. I still went for the full rounder and everyone was gathered around him and they were in the way of the final post. I was like, get out of the way.
Classic Ollie Gunnan, that is. That was always the big, when you played rounders at school, you would hit it, start running, and everyone would go, drop the bat! Because you forget to drop the bat, and then you just launch it behind you, like you didn't give a crap, you just literally, chuck it.
I do not give
that. Fly around, wouldn't it?
I'm just gunning for that.
You're the most competitive man.
And also, if there's, you know, it's people of all abilities, aren't they? All ages.
You don't care.
It's all niceties when you're...
If a seven-year-old bowled it at you, and they're like,
what annoys me, if
you would whack it.
Yeah. You can't, but you
didn't
also,
even blink
that's,
when he said that.
That's,
just,
but
yeah.
You know, but that also, that's, you know, it's like parents that tell their child, you can't tell your child it's done well unless it has actually done well. It's like, it's not fair on the child to hit it really gently when they do it because they're going to go into school, they're going to play around and someone's going to whack it and they're going to go, what? I was told I was really good.
No, that's not true. That's not the case. You're just, you've got to judge it against how good they should be at that age.
You've got to learn the hard way. You're not good enough yet, so you have to work harder to be better.
So if your 3-year-old draws a stick man on a piece of paper, you're not going to put it on the fridge because it's not as good as the Mona Lisa.
If he's drawing a stick man that is above his, like, age ability, if it's better than all the other 3-year-old stick men, I would go, well done, mate.
So, well.
But if he's done a really naff.
So, your son comes home with a stick man drawing, and you're going to go, I'd love to put it on the fridge, but I'm going to have to check the standard of the rest of your class first to check it's above average. It's crazy. You can't just go, not good enough, it's not going on. Like, what the hell's that?
I'll go, that's not good enough. Maybe you could have put a bit of scenery in there. Just up a bit.
this brings tears to my eyes. 'Cause when you are with me, I'm free, I'm careless, I believe. Above all the others will fly. This brings tears.
And Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. One of my friends has just got back from Austria. Well, our friend Nick.
Yeah.
He's out there. His girlfriend's got an apartment out there in the mountains. Okay, skiing in the winter, which is nice.
And, very leisurely.
And they went out this time, a little bit of sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and did those like downhill luges, you know, you get the cable car up and you got like a little brake and you go down on a little track. Did some hiking, also did some sightseeing while they were there. They hopped over the Bavarian border, the German border, to go and see the Eagle's Nest. Now you might remember the Eagle's Nest if you saw probably my favourite TV series of all time, Band of Brothers. The final scene in that where they finally
get to
home in on
the house.
Yeah.
House in the Hills.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable. It's the peak of
it. So no one ever lived in it after or anything like that? They left it as is, or?
Well, this is the interesting thing. So
sorry, just to clarify, we haven't actually said, just in case you haven't heard, that was Hitler's house, basically. It was like
his
secret lair.
Yeah, where he
killed himself.
Finally killed himself as the Allies caught up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where he was finally cornered. He had the final realisation that not only was the war over, that he was going to be taken captive. And so he took his only route out, which was suicide. So it's up right at the top of a peak of a mountain. It's unbelievable. And there's a bus that you get all the way up the mountain. And then there's a lift up into the house, which and Hitler had he had terrible claustrophobia. We've got one thing in common, Hitler and I. It's not something I often drop in conversation. Terrible claustrophobia. So we had a gold-plated lift with mirrors on the inside to make it feel less.
Really?
Yeah. And Nick said, you go in there and there's a telephone with Nazi symbols all over it. And he
so it's all still pretty much, I suppose it's not that long ago, really, is it?
Well,
it's not like crazy long ago.
This is the weird thing. So I said to Nick, I said, wow, and you get up there. I was like, what's it like? He went, well, we got to the top. It's been converted to a cafe.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
It's like I walked outside. There's Pepsi umbrellas everywhere.
Serious? What, just inside the grounds of the house?
It's at the bottom of the house, yeah. It's just a massive restaurant.
Wow. That is bizarre.
He was like, it just didn't...
Every tourist attraction's got toilets and a gift shop.
It just...
And a cafe. That's the thing.
Didn't feel that right. So just out of interest, I went onto TripAdvisor. First review on there, title, is this meant to be a joke? My boyfriend and this is Samantha from New York. My boyfriend and I have just come down from the Eagle's Nest, and I honestly can't quite believe what I've just witnessed. I'm pretty sure this is the place where Hitler planned the invasions of numerous countries and eventually took his life, and all they were offering was discounted sausages.
So was there any, like, plaques saying, you know, and this was the spot where he, or map saying this is the map that
no, he said it wasn't very historical. There was just a restaurant there.
What?
And he said the weird thing was, is there's loads of people just because I remember when I went to Birkenau, when I went to Auschwitz to see Auschwitz, there was a weight, a heaviness of in the air where no one was larking
the
around.
The atmosphere hadn't changed.
No, and people were there because it was interesting to go and see what happened.
It's important to remember.
But it was also, there was a level of respect. Even in the town, it was quite a sort of sombre atmosphere. people here like getting 2-for-1 sausages, having beers, checking out the view.
That is bizarre. I can't get my head around that.
And while
so
I
no memorabilia or like any of his possessions or
well, I mean,
his
I
bedroom or something.
Nick said there was an option to do a tour of the bedrooms, a different private tour, but he said he didn't go on that. But he said it was just strange. It was really weird. It wasn't what he was expecting.
Wow.
And one of the as I was like looking on TripAdvisor out of this, of course, you know what it's like. You like Wikipedia the Eagle's Nest, and then before you know it, 3 hours later, you're reading an article about, you know, something weird about Hitler. And one fascinating thing is Hitler had a group of girls that would travel with him, young girls, to, and their sole job. Any ideas what their job was? They had one job.
Girls? How old?
Young girls. Late teens, early 20s.
Oh, I don't want to know. Is it?
They're doing.
Is it a bit dodgy?
Well, no. I mean, Hitler was, you know, I don't think he was that way inclined, was he?
He was bisexual, wasn't he?
Oh, was he? I thought he was gay.
No, he's he had a wife.
Oh, yeah, but I think a beard, wasn't she?
What do they do? I don't know.
Their sole job was to taste his food for him. So every meal that was made, they'd be given one an hour before Hitler sat down to dinner. And they'd eat it and they'd have to sit there for an hour to see if it was poisoned.
Bloody hell. I mean, if that doesn't reek of paranoia, I don't know what does.
She said that one of the ladies that was interviewed here, who's now... She's Margot Walk is her name. She's now 96 years old, and she was one of these girls that had to taste Hitler's
food. She's still alive now.
Still alive now.
She just randomly recruited.
She said every meal could have been my last. When I'd finished eating, he ate vegetarian dishes. So she'd like we'd eat a bland vegetarian dish.
Eats vegetarian because it's a bit cruel to harm animals.
And she said every time an hour had passed, we'd cry like dogs because we were so grateful that we'd still be alive. Because some of the meals, obviously...
How were they found? Were they, like, taken from an orphanage or something, these girls?
I don't know.
Because how would you get them to... Like, most people get a Sunday job, just paper round or something.
Yeah, but thing is, for this job, there's no skill there. You're literally just a torso, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's all you are.
Yeah, but the account... The risk, you could maybe they're getting paid a load, or are they just orphans that he's just taken from an orphan house?
No, I don't imagine when Hitler asks you to come work for him, you get your offer, you're asking, you know, what's the...
Bartering.
What's the...
I'm going 20,000 francs a year minimum.
I'm looking for 5 weeks holiday. What are we what are we saying about that?
I can't get my head around that. That's so bizarre.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
This is FUBAR, and Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. Are you a psychopath?
Well, it always, you know, when you see these stories from across the world of people committing horrendous crimes, killing people in cinemas in America, that sort of thing, and they'll often say in the news, you know, they pleaded psychopathic or to have a mental illness of some kind. Is that
the empathy reservoir is a little bit low?
Yeah, and they try and do tests on these people in order to determine whether they are or aren't psychopathic.
A brief overview. I've got a definition here. I generally use Urban Dictionary for my definitions.
For the correct, the true meanings.
Psychopath, a person who knows the difference between right and wrong, but doesn't give a fuck. Which I think is a pretty good...
Do you know what? To sum it up quickly and maybe a bit short, too short and sweet, So what I have found here is a psychopathy or psychopathy. I don't know how you pronounce that. Psychopathy? Psychopathy? Checklist. This has been converted into a multiple choice format questionnaire.
Oh, they're my favourites.
Yeah. This is actually based on a genuine research. It's based on genuine research, a genuine test, though this isn't the actual one. It does say here, it's a disclaimer, that psychopathy is a very serious thing, and true assessment should be undertaken lightly and can only be done by a trained professional.
I'm happy.
It will alarm you, but I am not one of those.
Yeah, well, so. I'm happy for you to take the reins in this.
Okay, great. So you're, Ollie, I've already given you a few questions. There's quite a few questions.
What's quite interesting, you said, brilliant, Ollie, I'm going to give you a psychopath test, as if...
Well, I just thought this. I think you would probably be a bit more interested in my results.
I'm very open-minded.
Good. Okay. That's good.
So let's do this.
I've already asked you a few questions. What I deem to be more boring ones.
Yeah,
off air.
We've
whittled it down to this is cutting to the chase now. All right.
Okay.
Okay. So I've put in your details, your age, your gender, those sorts of things. All of these are true and false. Here we go. In important ways, I am superior to most people. Straight away, a wry smile there from Ollie Gallant. Straight away. True or false? In important ways, I am superior to most people. And obviously, if you're listening at home and things, you should try and think about this of yourself as well. What do you think the answers would be?
I know if I say no here, you're going to quote me when I call people muggles.
Yeah. Do you think of yourself as superior?
It depends.
Okay, you're walking down the street, you're looking at people, you're down the supermarket. Do you think you're superior?
If I walk past a church congregation.
No. Just normal, everyday Joe. Walking down the street, in the supermarket, in a queue full of people. Do you think of yourself as superior in important ways? I'm going to have to rush you. They've got a lot of questions to get through.
Okay, I think there are some... Yeah, I have to be honest. Sometimes, maybe a little bit.
A big tick in true, then. That's fun.
I'm being honest.
Good. That's what we need. That's what we need. Here we are. Moving on. Remember, people, think of this to yourself as well, because it's very interesting. I lie to make things go smoother.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't even break.
No, definitive, that one is.
Didn't even break there. Okay.
So, I often think of lies as lubrication to life.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you alluding to just white lies there?
Massively, yeah.
Actual lies, deceiving?
No, I've got... I have really strong morals about that, but I do lie a lot. But, like, how can I explain it? You know, for example, same in the hairdresser, they do a terrible haircut, they go, what do you think? Rather than say, like, or, you know, that I don't like it. Or, for example, because I'm gluten-free, if someone in a restaurant goes, or someone cooks that, would you like some of my cake? Rather than have to explain the whole thing, I just go, oh, no, I've just eaten. I do it all the time, just to smooth things along. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. Okay, I cheat people out of things. So if you got an opportunity to get ahead, and you have an opportunity to cheat and get away with it, would you cheat someone out of something?
No.
I've played sport with you.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I was just thinking, have I ever done anything that's outrageous to...
You will bend rules.
I definitely bend rules, but not to the detriment of others, only for my own benefit.
Okay, so but if other people are involved...
Like, for example, if we were go-karting and I could, like, cut the corner a little bit more and maybe I was bending the rules slightly because you're not meant to touch the curb,
yeah,
then I would do that. But if it was, if I knew doing that would knock you off the track, I wouldn't.
Wouldn't you? See, I thought you...
I mean, if you have...
Sorry, just look me in the eye and say, if I was going... And you thought, fuck it, Simon the Sloth Alexander is about to win at go-karting over me, and I'm just teetering towards the line, and you had an opportunity to cut me up and knock me off, you wouldn't take it?
It depends who was watching.
What, if the people
if
who...
If I could get away with it.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So if you could cheat and get away with it, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would.
Okay. I rarely feel guilty. True or false? You rarely feel guilty. What do you reckon there? And remember, people think of this of yourself. What do you reckon? We'll have answers at the end.
I'm trying to think the last thing I felt guilty about.
Oh my God, wow, really? Really?
But maybe that's because I don't do things that would make me feel guilty. It could be the opposite. It could be I just don't...
Would you ever, like, I don't know, sit and watch a film you've seen before because it's and you feel guilty that you haven't done something more productive? Or do you ever... feel guilty for overindulging in something and you think, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be doing...
No, not really.
So you don't feel good? Okay, fine. I rarely connect emotionally with other people.
Yes, definitely.
So you rarely connect with the people?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do connect with people. Yeah, definitely.
So that's false. I rarely connect.
Yeah, false.
False, good. I often get others to pay for things for me.
No.
No, you
opposite.
Love paying. Even if you've got no money, you love paying for shit, don't you?
Yeah.
Always. I don't know why. You just love it, don't you? You always get your wallet out.
I just liked. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I like to be generous.
Okay. Only a few more here. I am promiscuous. You're promiscuous.
Can I just Google the definition of promiscuous?
Well, promiscuous just means, you know, look at... Sort of... Sexually, quite sneaky, always trying to get it. Oh, I always find a little, you know. What do you reckon?
How do you spell promiscuous?
You must know what promiscuous
means. No, I want to see the Urban Dictionary definition.
Okay, P-R-O-M-I-S-C.
I got it.
What does Urban Dictionary say
about
that?
That's what I think would be really funny. A fancy word for slut.
That is hilarious. What would you say to that, Ollie?
Or someone who's getting more than you are, therefore making you envious of them. I don't think I am.
No?
I don't think so, no. I mean, obviously, I'm in a sort of relationship at the moment, and I'm very monogamous.
Yeah?
Like, I would never stray from that, no.
Okay.
When I'm single... I don't think... I'm very liberal, but I don't think that it's at the detriment of other people.
Okay, so we're going to go, you're not promiscuous.
Yeah.
I was a problem child. What were we thinking there?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, gotta be. Yeah, come on, yeah. It's Ollie Allen. I have difficulty staying committed to long-term goal. Oh, no, we've done that, sorry. I am impulsive.
Yes.
Yes, straight in. I frequently perform sloppy work.
Yes.
Definitely. My romantic relationships usually fall apart quickly. Now, I suppose, how many significant relationships in your life have you had? Three?
Yeah.
So, would you say that they fell apart quickly, or you've had other relationships in between that have fallen
apart? I think I've had three good ones.
Yeah.
And then I would say the rest have definitely fallen apart very quickly.
Yeah, okay.
But those ones have been solid.
Yeah.
But yeah, fine.
Okay. I committed some crimes as a juvenile.
Do we have to... How much detail are we getting?
Well, it's just true or false.
True.
Okay, oh, this will separate the wheat from the chaff. I am exceptional. True or false? It's really... You're very honest with yourself here. People at home, think of yourself. Am I exceptional? That says a lot about you. Are you exceptional?
It depends what you're talking about, doesn't it? Like, you know...
Well, this is black and white, so what would be a truer statement? I, Ollie Gallant, am exceptional, or I, Ollie Gallant, am not exceptional?
Not exceptional.
What would you put?
I bet exception.
This is fantastic. Okay. And that sort of sums up the next question. I am basically an honest person, so I think we've got to put true for that. Last question. I feel bad when I trick people.
I don't think I trick people.
Well, if you were to trick someone,
yeah,
would you feel bad
yeah,
for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think I would, yeah.
Okay, oh, sorry, no, one more here. I think sex should not be taken lightly.
Well, you know, there's the times when you're on a holiday in Magaluf and you've had a few drinks and it's a bit of a light-hearted and, you know, I think sometimes it can be taken lightly, as long as it's perfectly mutual.
Well, no, it's true or false. I think sex should not be taken lightly.
True or false? Well, this is the last question. It's quite a difficult one. True or false? Sex should not be taken lightly. I think it can be taken lightly. Okay. Sometimes.
Let's see your results, shall we? Oh, interesting.
What?
I can tell you that, firstly, you scored above the average person taking this test. So, amongst others that have taken that test, you are more psychopathic than the average.
God.
However, to indicate proper psychopathy or psychopathy, you'd have to score 30 or above, and you scored 21 out of 100.
Oh, that's fine.
So out of 40, sorry, not out of 100. So 21 out of 40, 30 and above is psychopathic, 21 you score, which is above average, but it's not at that level yet.
So the conclusion of that is that I'm not a psychopath, but I am above average, some would say exceptional.
You love a white lie, basically.
Shoulders are frozen. You're an explosion. Like dynamite. Your name is a rear, but you don't get the sound. And I infuse my result in a bang with a bang. Oh, said I guess that you look good on the dance floor. I don't know what you're looking for, a master for. I don't know what you're looking for. To despair. Without words, you are calling me, and I don't think it's really fair that you showed us a present. You're an explosion, like dynamite. Your name is a rear, but you don't care for sand. A lie and infuse my result in a bang with a bang. Oh, said I guess that you look good on the dance floor. I don't know what you're looking for, a master for. I don't know what you're looking for.
you. What it is that surprises me is I don't really want you to. Over your shoulders and frozen.
Cold as the night.
You're an explosion.
Like dynamite.
Your name is real, but you don't care for saying. I'm dying to fuse my result in a band with a bang. Said I guess that you look good on the dance floor. I don't know what you're looking for, romance. For I don't know what you're looking for.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And one of the big stories of the week was, of course, the Shoreham air crash.
Yeah, that was a shocking thing to hear over the weekend, wasn't it?
11 people are now thought to have died when a plane crashed into a West Sussex main road during an air show. The plane was a Hunter. It was a military jet. My dad flew it, actually.
Really?
Yep. Before he went onto the Buccaneer. And it will be a privately owned aircraft that is used for displays. The pilot was very, very experienced. They're saying, actually, that the pilot is in a medically induced coma.
I thought he died. Yeah, that's bad. I thought he'd... It's a horrible state to be in. 20 people have died now on the road? And I think for me, that's the thing that does sort of put this into a bit of questioning. Because I know it's a show and people have paid to go to the show. And I think if he'd have crashed in the show, people, I guess, to an extent, take a bit of a risk because they paid to go and watch it. But just people not interested on the road, just driving about. It's just like, how can we... If it was air travel and it was part of commuting and you knew the risk you were taking going aboard a plane that then went missing or crashed. But this was a show. This was just for a show. And isn't that a bit scary? Isn't that a bit crazy that that can happen?
I think the unusual thing is about air shows is that they have very, very stringent safety. Like, you're never allowed to fly over the crowd. You have to fly on the opposite side of the runway away from the crowd.
Yeah.
But, of course, the way that flying works is that you leave the boundaries of the airfield in order to come in. And, of course, that means you're going to be flying
miles away.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can still see that plane, and it could be a mile away from the airfield over a village, town.
Yeah.
Although they will probably try and avoid most built-up areas. But like this here, it was just a road that was full of cars. And there's lots of speculation now about whether the pilot, you know, tried to avoid... Because there was a large traffic jam a little bit further down, and he went in, and they're saying, you know, did he try and avoid...
They haven't diagnosed what it was that went wrong with the plane yet, have they?
No. From the video, it looks like the aircraft was in a pretty... big stall when it went in, and obviously a stall happens when you don't have enough airspeed. So one of the theories is that he lost power going into that loop, and so when he came out of the loop, he didn't have enough airspeed in order to be able to pull the aircraft
back down again, so he's facing the right way and everything.
Exactly that. And he would have needed more altitude to come out. So as you pull back further and further, you hit a stall, and that's
scary, isn't it?
It is pretty scary,
'cause you know it's happening. I think that's the worst part. He'd know it was happening.
Well, it was like this Red Arrows crash a few years ago that they're saying the guy actually manoeuvred the aircraft to avoid...
people.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
Also, such a split-second thing. Like, how'd you get your... Imagine that, right? You're a pilot, okay? And you know that that aircraft is full of avgas, highly explosive. Yeah. So if it does crash, it's going to cause major damage.
Yeah. Right? It looked like a bomb. The footage looks like a bomb.
So you're flying that aircraft. You have an engine failure, low altitude. You've got a split-second decision, okay? You've got two options. You've got a juvenile prison on your left.
Right.
All right. And on the right-hand side, convent full of nuns. All right, old nuns.
I can't believe this. Almost feels like we're making light of the situation.
I'm not making light of it.
All
right, so you're there, you're in your plane. Engine goes. Mayday, mayday. This is Simon, the Sloth Alexander. So, I can't believe they gave me a pilot's license because I'm so fucking laid back. All right, now what am I going to do? And that's it. Juvenile prison, all right, full of young people. Yes, they've got problems, but they are young. They've got time to rectify it, you know.
Yeah.
Good, you know. The other side, nuns. They've given their entire life to helping others, but they are older.
I would go for the nuns. Because
you've just said
I'm not doing this out of my own free will. I've got a choice.
There's absolute free will here. People have committed crimes on the left.
Go for the nuns. Three reasons. One, I think generally, despite the, you know, it's a juvenile prison, generally age wins out. You know, we learnt the other day, didn't we, that baby on board stickers are there so they can rescue the babies and the kids and preserve the innocent lives and the lives they've got ahead for
them. They're not innocent.
So,
they've been cut. Do you know what? Several of those kids have actually mugged the nuns.
No, but hang on. Like,
that's why they're in there.
They could be rehabilitated or misunderstood or...
I know, but they...
All those sorts of things. There might be some absolute rottens in there.
The nuns have given their lives.
Let me finish. So that's one reason. Number two, they will forgive me.
The nuns?
Yeah. They'd forgive me. Wouldn't they?
Well, they wouldn't be around to forgive you.
I know, but if they were told I chose them.
Well, I don't know.
They would be like, we forgive you. We're going to heaven anyway. I'm going to move on to, they'd be content that they'd be going to heaven and that they would be...
So one of the nuns is nipped to
Sainsbury's. They would die happier, I think.
One of the nuns is nipped to Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
All right. It all goes up. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Why are they Irish?
I don't know. This is every generic film with a nun I've ever seen. They've been Irish. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me.
Yeah.
I knew I had a craving for a cinnamon bagel.
Definitely Somerset there.
It was a sign from... Okay, we'll say she's from Somerset right now. She was a sign from Jesus.
Right.
Oi. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So all of her nun friends dead because you've... They're all dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she finds out. You manage to eject and you get out. You survive as well.
Yeah.
You go and see her after, and she goes, what about the fucking criminals across the road?
Well, I don't think the nun is saying, what about the fucking criminals across the road?
Those little shits, they stole from us.
I think they're more likely to be even more like, oh no, they've done some wrong things, but God's forgiven them.
Oh, Simon, you've killed all my friends. But I think it was the right decision, and it wasn't the criminals.
Yeah. I think that would be, what would you choose? Same. You choose the same. Come on. It's the age over youth thing. It's just the idea that they're kids. And if they're old people that have lived their lives, I know there's no right answer here, but the fact they're older, they've lived their lives, they're content, they'll forgive me, they're religious, they're going to heaven, I think they are in a better place than the juvenile kids that have, like, stolen some... tires off a car, off the parked car, and now they're in a prison and they're 14 years old. Come on. You've got to agree with me there.
Maybe I'd crash in the middle, do half and half.
Well, no, you didn't give me that. Half and half? What do you mean? How's that working?
Well, like, you know, I just go in the middle. So
drop a bottom on one and then crash into the other.
No, it gets a bit of one, gets a bit of the other. Do you know what I mean? Balance it all out a bit.
Fine, okay, I'll take that. If that's an option.
Well, no, you said now.
Well, no, you didn't give me that option. You said one or the other. Now you're saying there's a third option.
You didn't think... I'm not on board, Simon. I can't help you.
Right.
You killed all the dead nuns everywhere.
Yeah.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As
they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. Look at the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the street, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things is going, I don't know. And the power, minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking. It's going on in the kitchen, but I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
Radio.